Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. This is episode 94, and it's a very special episode as it's a solo episode, something a little bit different. And why it's a solo episode is that today, on Thursday, December 10th, I'm actually recording this and releasing it in the same day, which is a very unusual one. Usually they're pre-recorded. I'm recording this on December 10th as Airbnb is going to float today. They're going to have their IPO. So what that means is their initial public offering, and they're going to go on the stock market. So you can buy shares in Airbnb today. So I wanted to just talk about Airbnb really for the last 7 years. It's been a huge part of my life. For the last 5 years, it's been my principal source of income. So I wanted to talk about it and reveal from a host's point of view what it's like. What is the platform about? Is it good? Is it bad? How does it actually work? Because I forget how deep I am in the platform that I forget a lot of people don't know very much about it. You might have used it once or twice, but you don't know the ins and outs. So this isn't an investment advice podcast. This isn't something that to go and buy shares. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm going to give the warning now. This is not a financial advice podcast. Don't take this as financial advice. Take this as a story of my last 7 years of my life, how much time I've spent working with Airbnb and my thoughts on it. This is a personal opinion, not a professional opinion. So take it as that. Right. Now we'll have a bit of fun because that serious part is out of the way. I don't even know why I do that. I just assume I have to. So I've been running my business Host Butlers for the last 5.5 years now. And what we do is we're an Airbnb management tool. So we manage Airbnbs for people. So if you have a property that you want to put on Airbnb, we will do everything for you. We will list the property on Airbnb. We'll come and take the photos. We will essentially be your host. So you can be anywhere in the world and people can still be coming and going from your Airbnb. We'll give them professional service. We'll give them a super welcome to Dublin. We'll do the whole lot for you. And then when the guests leave, we'll clean the apartment, get it ready for your next guest, and then start the process all over again. So it's an end-to-end service. So we know a lot about Airbnb, and I think I kind of underestimate that a lot of the time. I constantly get requests from people all over the world to consult with them on Airbnb, and it's something I've always kind of turned down. I've written and been featured on a number of popular business blogs in America about Airbnb, and from that I get a lot of inbound requests asking me to advise people on their Airbnb business. And that's something I just don't do because I didn't have time up to this. I was actually too busy running a business, but it's something I'm considering in the future. So if you are an Airbnb host and you do want consultation, I'm actually available for consultation. So that's the little plug out of the way. So since 2013, I actually worked this out last night, and this is a very rough calculation. I must go and work this out properly because I tried to work out how many people we've hosted in the last 5 years. So on average, per night, we'd have about 140 to 200 people in Dublin being hosted by us. So the size of a small hotel, essentially. So that works out at about 43,000 people per year. That works out over the last 5 years as 217,000 people per year, or over the last 5 years. So that's a lot of people. So over 200,000 people we've hosted. It's not just me. It's me and my team. And we've done a huge amount of turnovers and work and greetings, and I never say we faced every single situation, because Airbnb was one of those businesses whereby you think you've seen it all, and then the next guest goes and does something so off the wall that you actually just can't believe it. So we've seen a lot, haven't seen everything. People are incredible and they will continue to surprise you. We've had so many mad stories, and it's been fun. It's hard work. Airbnb is hard work. Let me get that out of there first off. Airbnb is not easy business. A lot of cowboys got into Airbnb back 2015, 16, 17, and I've seen them come and go. I've seen them get wiped out by VAT bills, tax bills, stupidity, debt. I've had so many competitors come and go, take shots at me, try to buy me, try to run me out of business. They've done everything. Try to poach my staff, try to poach my team. And it just attracts a strange cohort of people. I suppose that's why I'm in it. But like the guests we've had, everything from missing guests, famous guests, people having weddings, funerals. You get to interact with everybody on like such a wide level that it's a fascinating business. It's a really stressful business, but it's a fascinating business. If you're into people and into what makes people tick, the psychology of it is brilliant. just last year, I was trying to think of funny stories just before I press record here. And just last year, Claire, one of the girls that works with me, she had possibly one of our funniest. It's not funny, but it's an awkward situation. So we would always, you know, try to make people's guests stay very special. So if they had a special occasion and they mentioned us, we'd always do something nice for them, just a little touch. And this couple mentioned that they're coming on honeymoon. So Claire and Rafa would be super at like going out and getting little details and putting time in and spending time decorating the apartment and getting flowers and balloons and cake and stuff like that. And Claire met the guest downstairs on the property we used to have. You'd go up a couple of levels to the apartment. And when she met them, she kind of sensed there was something not quite right with them. They were just seemed quite tense. Now, often people can be, because I'd say 90% of our guests are coming from the States. They've often had a red eye overnight flight, and it can be a little bit stressful. Traveling is stressful. You're kind of at the end of your journey and you're just a bit tired. So she just thought they were just a little bit tired. But as she was chatting to them, she'd be a great chatter. She'd chat to them about everything. And as she was chatting to them going up the stairs, it emerged that they'd actually broken up and not gone ahead with the wedding, but still went on honeymoon together. So as Claire was going up the stairs, she knew she was walking into an apartment that had been fully decorated for someone's honeymoon. Balloons, the whole lot, a card. So she's walking in, she's chatting away, and she's trying to back over to the counter where all the decorations and stuff are, and there's literally nothing she could do. But you kind of find yourselves in situations like that. It's a great business. So I'm going to run through today. I'm going to talk about the IPO, their share price, what I think, and I'm going to go through the good and the bad of Airbnb, because Airbnb over the last couple of years has got a really bad reputation, especially in Ireland, as people mainly associate it with regulations and, oh, it's causing homelessness and it's causing social problems. So I'm going to talk very openly, and I haven't talked very openly about it in the past because it's been a very tricky topic to talk about. So today you're going to get a very frank, honest, and open conversation with me. Stuff I haven't shared before on the podcast, because I don't make the podcast about myself. I try and make the podcast about the guests and about new ideas and new information that can be useful to you. I don't talk about myself too much, so this will be a little bit of a departure for myself as well. So bear with me on that. First of all, we're going to start with the good. What's good about Airbnb? Why has it been so popular? It only started in 2008. So like, that's not a long time. 12 years is not a long time. And in that time, they've created a whole new sector. It's become one of those things, just Google it, just get an Uber, just get an Airbnb. It's become part of the conversation. It's now become a word. It's become a byword for going away for a weekend and getting an apartment. So that in itself is such a hard thing to do. And they've created that entire thing from scratch in 12 years, which is an incredible achievement. And it's because it's so good. It connects people. By the way, this isn't going to be an Airbnb puff piece. If you just think, oh, it's just an Airbnb shill. I'm not employed by Airbnb. I've made a lot of money from Airbnb, but I have a lot of things, honest things to share as well. I think if you follow the pod, you'll know that that's not my style to be just pursuing one angle. But it is a superb platform. And I think people don't understand how good it is. Because when you use it as a host or as a guest, you see a very surface level. You know, it works. And that's the biggest thing. When something works and works well, you don't really think too much about it. It's like, you know, it's like turning on a light. You don't really think about where the hell is that energy coming from? How is it generated? How does it get here? When things work well, you don't think about them. And that's part of the beauty of Airbnb. It does work very well as a platform. It does exactly what it needs to do. It connects people who have a property or a room to rent with someone who wants to go away for a weekend or a night or work or whatever. And it connects the two. Previously, you'd have to go to a rental agent. You'd have to ring them up. You'd have to like go view it. Whereas this is like you literally go online, look at the photos, go bang, book now, and it's done. So it is an incredible platform and it does work so good. And it has got better and better. I've been using it now for 7 years. And in that 7 years, it's completely changed. The core of it has stayed the same. The core of a very simple process, not overcomplicating something. I want to go away from the 13th to the 15th of December. I want a two-bed apartment. I want it in Kilkenny. Put in the search terms. There it is. Book it. It's done. You're going to Kilkenny. All in the space of a couple of minutes. That part has stayed the same. They have improved the functionality of it. They have improved their reach. Before, when I started doing it back in 2015 as a professional host, you got the early adopters. You got people who were very early to the game. They understood, and there was a trade-off there. They understood they were early to the game. They understood this is a whole new thing. Whereas as we got more advanced into it, in terms of as people became more and more aware of Airbnb and it became more the general population using it, it became much more difficult actually as a host, because people's expectations changed and people thought it was like going to a hotel. People assumed they just literally ring you up. I had someone ring me up, I think it was 2 years ago on Christmas Eve, that he couldn't change the channel on his TV. So I went over there thinking the TV was broken, went to Curry's, bought him a Chromecast thinking, oh, I can't have the poor chap left without a TV for Christmas. The Grinch going over to ruin Christmas. So I ran over there, got there, and he literally couldn't change the channel. The TV wasn't broken. He just couldn't figure out how to go up and down channels, to go from RT1 to RT2. Honest to God, I could have fallen over. I was so shocked. And I had seen a lot at that stage. He literally called me to go to his apartment, which was nowhere near where I was. But that was the difference in clientele. People now assumed it was like ringing room service, going, oh, I'll ring Gary, get him up here. And that's how it changed. So it did change and became into the mass consciousness, and people came to use it. But then, you know, we would develop systems for that. Then we would literally make the apartments foolproof. We would are kind of in our mindset going, right, could a child come in here and understand how everything works? Like, is everything so obvious and so simple? Because we forget, you know, in America, things are a little bit different. And in Asia, things are different. In India, things are different. In China, things are different. You forget what you think is common is actually quite complex. So we had to simplify absolutely everything. But Airbnb gives you access to a global audience. And this is probably, if I had to pick one thing, the incredible thing about Airbnb is we would often list a property and landlords would come to me and go, Gary, I want to list on Airbnb. You know, how quickly can I get bookings? And generally, I would be able to get them maybe 5 to 10,000 euros worth of bookings within 24 hours. That's how fast it would turn around. And that's how powerful Airbnb was/is. We would literally launch... excuse me, we would literally launch a new property on the platform. Let's say today, Thursday, 1 p.m. Okay, get the photos done, fill out the description, put it live Thursday, 1 p.m. Bang. By Friday morning at 9 a.m., you should have about 5 to 10 grand worth of bookings if it was a good property in a good location. And over time, that's all we took. We became very selective about who would we work with. And what properties we'd work with. We only worked with the best, to be honest, not to sound arrogant, but we didn't work with people who were a pain in the face, because, and I used to always say this to the people who worked with me, there's always more customers, there's always more clients. Don't work with people you don't want to work with. Life is simply too short. That's why I have my own business. I don't like negative people. I don't want to spend my life dealing with horrible people. Sometimes you have to, that's just a fact of life. But on a day-to-day, I have that choice now. And I always give the people that work for me that choice. It was always a trade-off. You know, do you want to work with this person? Yes, no. You will be the person dealing with them day-to-day. Do you want to work with them? Yes, no. So as over time, we became better and better and better. But that is the power of Airbnb. And I don't think we realize how powerful that is to be able to launch a product straight away. I can't think of another product in the world like it, apart from maybe selling products on Amazon, which I'll get onto now in a second, where you just literally list your product and within 24 hours, you've 10,000 euros. That's the power of that is incredible. And that has been the driving force behind Airbnb, because it allowed people to make money. It allowed them to make money on a perishable item. So, you know, if you rent a room tonight, you can't re-rent that room tomorrow. It's gone. Today is only for here, one only, and then it's gone tomorrow. So a perishable item and stuff they already had. So they already had a spare room, or they already had an apartment. They were going away for the weekend. And Airbnb allowed that. Suddenly, people were like, well, I'm going away for a month. What can I do? I can rent out my apartment for maybe 2,000 euro. That'll cover my mortgage. So I can afford to now go away for the month. So that flexibility, we used to have all types of clients. People who'd work in Dublin for a month and then would have to travel for a month. So they would, you know, we would help them for that month, make money. And we help people in every situation in terms of we've helped people back when we started in 2015. There was people still dealing with the fallout of the crash, dealing with the fallout of 2008 to 2012, whereby they'd been financially ruined. And we had clients who were helping them pay their mortgage because they couldn't afford to pay their mortgage anymore because they'd taken on a crazy mortgage in the boom times, and then the crash came and they lost their job or they had to move away or whatever happened. So Airbnb is a platform for good as well as all the negatives we tend to hear. People tend to forget about that. Airbnb has created hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs like me and like all the surrounding businesses around me. So to run my business, it requires a huge support network because it's not just me. It's not just, oh, I meet them at the property, they go in, they have a good time, and then they leave. We had a whole support network around that, and we were providing employment and work to a huge amount of people. So from repairmen who would come and help us prepare the apartment in terms of broken washing machines and doors, dishwashers, toilet seats. Toilet seats is a big one. If you're going to be an Airbnb host, prepare to replace a lot of toilet seats. And we would have them literally four or five times a week. They might be coming to one of our properties. So that was that. And then there was a taxi company who would work with us, and they would get thousands of euros worth of business every couple of months from us, purely from, we would link people in with them. We'd provide a full end-to-end service going, look, you can book a taxi. So they would provide them, they would get employment from it. There was the people employed in my business. And then there was also the cleaning team who would have maybe between 4 and 10 people working on a single day just on our properties. So just even from one business and one property alone, it could be impacting and providing employment for 10 to 20 people on a given day in Dublin. And that's just me. So when you extrapolate that out, Airbnb was providing thousands of jobs across this Dublin city on its own. Let's just take that as an example. But you rarely heard about that because it wasn't cool to talk about and it wasn't sexy and it didn't matter because entrepreneurs are often hidden in the background. And I think we see that now with COVID. The people who are suffering are the people in the background and the people whose businesses provide an essential service, but you don't see them. They're not, you know, front of mind in terms of, oh, you know, they're not sitting in a hotel desk, or they're not, you know, you can't physically point and go, oh, that's the person that, you know, that's the person that helps my hotel room be perfect. You know, Airbnb is kind of a little hidden economy in itself. And I think it's important to understand that. So that's what Airbnb has the power to do. And if you extrapolate that out onto a global scale, the impact of Airbnb has been astronomical in terms of, for entrepreneurs like myself, for all the ancillary services around that, and just for guests and hosts who can now afford to pay their mortgage, or who can afford to improve their property, or who can afford to invest in another property and have a better standard of life just purely based on Airbnb. So the power that it's had over the last 12 years since its inception are huge. Like the barriers, why Airbnb, I think, as a business will do well when it floats on the stock market, is the fact that the barriers to entry to become the next Airbnb are astronomical now. They're so big. It's like there's a tech notion of, you know, you get so big that you flood the market. You know, it's like what Uber have tried to do with taxis. It's what Amazon are doing with e-commerce. You become so big. You control such a large portion of the addressable market that for anyone to come in and even get anywhere near your level, the billions, and billions with a large B here, the billions it would take to do that is simply impossible. You have people that come in and nibble away 5 or 10% here and there. But with a marketplace like Airbnb, Airbnb is a two-sided marketplace. On one side, you have the hosts, which is me, and on the other side, you have the customers. And you need to fill both of those buckets. So think of them as giant buckets. If one of them is completely full, so if you've loads of hosts but no customers, well, that doesn't work. If you've a few hosts and loads of customers, Well, that doesn't work either, because then you can't match them. People will come and go, oh yeah, I tried to use Airbnb, didn't work, they have no properties in Dublin. And I've seen this, and you've seen this as well, I'm sure, with all the new apps that launch. You go on and you're like, oh, it's a big hypey launch, oh my god, you know, new taxi app or whatever it is, and you go on and you're like, oh, there's like two taxis in Dublin and it's like 50 minutes to wait. Well, no one's going to have the time for that. Close the app, never think of it again. Done. You get one shot. It's any of those marketplace businesses. That's why marketplaces are so bloody tough to start. That's what I always say to people as well. I get so many people reaching out to me going, oh, I'd like to do the Airbnb for X or Airbnb for Y. And I'm like, okay, marketplaces are tough. Marketplaces are unbelievably good for all the reasons I just highlighted in terms of Airbnb is an unbelievable business. But to get that initial traction, to be honest, you need a damn amount of luck. You need to be at the right place at the right time. And there needs to be a massive pent-up demand that you just suddenly release. It's like popping a bubble. Suddenly this massive release and everyone floods to you. And if you do things right, and they haven't done everything right, but if you do a lot of things right, there's a stickiness there. And stickiness is very important in a business. And I've seen it with Airbnb. There is a stickiness. Hosts don't leave. They rarely leave. Okay, I won't say don't, because there's no... You shouldn't make grand sweeping statements like that without backing them up. They rarely leave. And I've seen that in my own business. They didn't leave us because we provided a good service. They also didn't leave us because Airbnb provided them with a damn good income. And that's the honest truth of it. It performs. And if something's performing, providing you money, that's the ultimate business model. If you're making money for someone else, brilliant. That's why would I leave? Things have to be very bad for you to leave if someone's making you money. That's why I think that will be their biggest moat. So people always talk about entrepreneurs and always talk about their moat. What's your moat? What's your protection? What's going to stop someone coming in and eating your lunch? Airbnb's biggest moat is they've had a head start on a lot of people and their stickiness is there, because why would I leave? If I'm earning, we had crazy figures. We had landlords earning huge money. Obviously, for confidentiality, I'm never going to reveal any of that. But it was a great business. I can say that with honestly hand on my heart. It's a superb business. So that's their biggest moat. It makes money for people. There's also a simple fact is it's better to use and cheaper to use than some of the rivals. If you look at booking.com, they charge hosts 20%. So if you want to, let's say you want to rent out your apartment tonight for €100. Booking.com are taking 20% of that. €20 is going straight to booking.com, so you're left with 80. Then you have to pay your cleaner and then you have to pay all those other people. So Airbnb don't take that much, to be honest. They take much, much less. And that kind of helps with their loyalty. Like their hosts are 3%. That's what three hosts pay as a fee, is 3%. It varies up and down a little bit depending on the booking, but generally around 3%. They also charge the guest a little bit, so it helps when both sides pay a little. Neither side are feeling too much pain there. We'll talk about the bad now. So that's the good. I think that's a lot of the good. I haven't covered everything there, but I think I've covered a lot. I think I've covered why it works so well as a business. I think I've covered why, you know, it makes money. It makes money for people. They just take a little slice of that. So it's a good business model. There's a great middleman. The bad. And this is what people have focused on a lot. And probably the biggest bad thing is that it's a people business. Dealing with people is a damn hard business. People are hard. People are difficult. And that's the core of what Airbnb is. It's people. You're renting rooms. Yeah, absolutely you are. You're renting apartments, but who's renting them? People are renting them. And people have a lot of quirks. People have a lot of different things that they like, don't like, want to do, don't want to do. And honestly, some of the stuff I've seen people do in Airbnbs, yeah, that's for a different podcast. I think I will do a tell-all podcast at some stage. But like just silly things, like, because what's happened in the last couple of years is that people have copped on to the fact that it's a reviews business. And we've had people blackmail us openly. I'll leave you a bad review if you don't do this for me. We've had that numerous times. And more in the recent time, where people now realize, wait a second, their business relies on positive reviews. If I can, you know, I can squeeze them a little bit here. And we've had people ask for discounts. We've had people ask for money off. We've had people ask for free nights. We've had people invent things to get free stays. Sometimes you fight it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes if there's any fault on our part at all, you would have to do something for them. You'd have to give them some sort of discount or some sort of gesture. We would often just do a gesture. We would go and give them a bottle of wine or a meal voucher or something like that, because the genuine people just want to flag it with you and go, look, there was a bit of a problem with check-in, or you know what, your cleaner forgot to clean out the fridge, or you know, there wasn't enough towels or whatever. And let me just say something straight up here. I should have said this at the very start of the podcast. 99% of people are absolutely spot on. They are brilliant. When you think of Airbnb, you're like, oh my God, the horror stories, the parties, the craziness, all the madness, the hidden cameras, the negative stories that are one in a million. And genuinely, over the, like, say, 220,000 people that we've hosted, I can safely say 1% caused hassle, genuine malicious hassle. It's a far higher figure in terms of people being difficult and stuff like that, but there's a big difference between someone being a fusspot and someone being a difficult, awkward, horrible person. They're very different. Like, there's one funny story of, we used to always, like, just, we'd look at every single review. Every single review had to be reviewed by our team and look for any sort of discrepancy, any sort of like thing we can improve on. And one of my favorite reviews was for an apartment we had just off the Halfpenny Bridge in Dublin. And beautiful apartment, like absolutely gorgeous, perfect, in fact, in terms of location and everything. And there was an American guest who went in there and left us a review, left this publicly on the forum, on a public Airbnb review. I must actually try to dig it out and see if I can find it. And it said, your salt and your sugar containers look too similar. I put salt on my cornflakes. P.S. You're out of sugar. And you're just going to go on, what? You put salt on your cornflakes, and that's our fault because the containers look similar. You know, stuff like that, you just get such a good laugh out of. Like, it really would brighten up a Monday morning, because that's not a real complaint. But, you know, you are vulnerable. I think that's the honest, if I was to summarize the biggest flaw at Airbnb, is that you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable to bad actors, and you're vulnerable to people not being genuine. But to be honest, the 1% that aren't, it makes it worthwhile for the 99% that are. If you do everything in your power for most people and you try to resolve the problem quickly, that's everything. The speed at which we resolve things was my key number one priority. Whatever went wrong, that's fine. Did we resolve it fast? Did we come to some sort of resolution quickly? Because most people are happy. If you resolve it for them, they're happy. If you resolve it for them fast, they're even happier than they were before there was a problem, because you've shown initiative and you've made them feel special. And that's the important thing to remember in business. If you make someone feel special and that they're heard, are you hearing me? Are you hearing the problem I have? Because often they might have had a shit flight or a shit day, or they might have had a bad business meeting, or they're having a row with their wife or whatever it is. If you can make them feel special and make them feel heard, they will leave you a glowing review. And we've often had the worst things happen. We've had bats break in two. We've had a host who went out and got absolutely smashed and locked out the guests. We've had absolutely everything, but the speed at which you resolve something. So that's the bad thing. You can feel a little bit vulnerable as a host, because you can feel a bit powerless when things go wrong. Over the years, Airbnb have tried to get a little bit better in terms of the resolutions, but it's just a hard thing to resolve, because you're ringing up Airbnb and you're trying to explain the situation to them, and they have to take both sides. They have to take, okay, what's the guest side in this? What's the host side in this? And it's very often, it's often he said, she said. oh, I found a hare. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. And it's very, very difficult for Airbnb. And more often than not, they'll have to come down on the side of the guest because they want the guest to come back and they want the guest to have a good time. So that can be difficult. And I think that's part of the problem, but that's it's a small thing. Airbnb's reputation is probably the biggest issue in the last 3 to 4 years for us anyway. As a business, we would often get kind of jumbled up with Airbnb. People would think we are Airbnb. People would think, you know, everything we do is based off Airbnb. So people would assume we're some part of Airbnb. And the reputation in the last couple of months or in the last couple of years has been difficult as Airbnb got a lot of bad press in terms of city centers, in terms of like exactly in Dublin. You know, it was kind of overdone in some parts of Dublin. And I'll be the first to admit there was a lot of bad actors who got in on early and made a lot of money. It was all sparked by that absolute moron in Temple Bar who advertised his 2-bed apartment for sale. And I think it was $500,000, 495, I think is what he had priced it at, when an average one in Dublin, in Temple Bar, should be making 395. And why he said it was 495 and why he was selling it. And this was in, I vividly remember this, this was in the promotional literature he had up on Daft. And somehow his auctioneers let him do this. He said, oh, it's 495, not 395, because I made €100,000 on Airbnb last year. Like, come on. And I would imagine, I don't know for sure, but I would imagine he's one of those people who piled in bunk beds into rooms, you know, who just made 8 people sleep in a 2-bed apartment, and which, you know, if you're going away for a weekend, that's a hostel. That's not an Airbnb. That's people... people just saw the numbers. They saw, oh, I can charge 40 quid per person. You know, that's great money. You know, I can get 200 quid if I get 5 people in there. Oh my God, that's incredible money. And I was approached by a lot of these people to work for them. And every single one of them, I turned them down because they're just absolute cowboys and your reputation will be dragged down with them. But they existed. And that caused irreparable damage to the Airbnb brand. That's something they're still working on now, and it caused irreparable damage to a lot of our reputations because people just assumed that all Airbnb hosts were doing this and that it was this horrible business. And there was people in Dublin who really did a bad job on this, 100%. There was people who rented out entire floors and blocks of apartments and used the whole floor as just like a pseudo hotel. There was one brand in particular were doing this in Temple Bar. And it was ruining the block because it was people, genuine people who owned property in there, who lived there day to day, and they were having to deal with Muppets going in on stags and hens and partying, which, to be fair, they've rented an apartment. They assume, you know, well, I've rented for the weekend. It's Dublin, Temple Bar. What are you going to do? But people had to live in the block. People had to put up with this at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And that's unacceptable. And that's what caused, to be honest, I think that's what caused 99% of the problems we have in Dublin with Airbnb, is people taking the absolute piss and doing it where it should never be done. Doing it in high-rise blocks, doing it in blocks where people are trying to live and raise families. And that's completely unacceptable. And that was the main problem. And those Airbnb is now bringing in regulations. So is Airbnb banned? That's the question I used to get so much. Is Airbnb banned? Kind of is the honest answer. You can only do it for 90 days a year now in Dublin City Centre. So that has had a big impact on my own business, never mind the pandemic. We'll talk about the pandemic now shortly, but that's caused my whole business model to pivot, which I'm in the middle of doing right now. So we were kind of half pivoting before the pandemic. The pandemic was the final nail in the head because as a business model, it just simply isn't sustainable with such a low number. So that was it. That was the reason why it struggled in city centers and why, and I think it was an overreaction. I think there was, the regulations don't fit the need, don't fit the requirement. It should have been more stringent about what kind of properties can do Airbnb. And you should have had to have got a license. So you should have to go, I apply for Airbnb for X number of nights per year. This is why, and give them reasons going, I live in a single block, it's a single house on its own, we don't have adjoining neighbors, da, 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 and that should be fine. But I think they've taken a sledgehammer to crack a walnut, and it's done damage to Airbnb in the city. I think an Airbnb will still exist forever. I think it'll go back to its roots. I'll talk about that in the conclusion. The pandemic, has it killed Airbnb and will it kill their float? No, it hasn't. It caused huge damage to Airbnb, to hosts. When the pandemic happened, we lost nearly 500,000 euros worth of bookings in 3 to 4 weeks. So we were watching just the cancellation. When the international flight ban came in, our business shut off overnight. We literally went from 100 to 5% overnight. That's hard to take. And it also affected Airbnb. But to be fair, I think as a business, they handled it very well. I wasn't very complimentary about how they were handling their business up to the pandemic, but I think they handled the regulations in the cities very poorly. I think they took a very laissez-faire, hands-off approach and just let it play out, thinking it mightn't be as serious as it was, or they knew they would have a better business anyway and that certain cities were small. But I think how they handled the pandemic was good in terms of they raised money fast. Now, they raised at an exorbitant rate and they're going to pay heavily for it. But they raised money quickly. They cut costs quickly, as in they got rid of staff quickly and they got rid of the bloat. So they were trying to do everything. And this is probably the key problem Airbnb had pre-pandemic, is that they were trying to be everything. They were trying to overexpand. They wanted to be the Amazon for travel. They came out and said that. I was at meetings where Airbnb hosts, ironically, and you know they were talking up a big game of how they were going to expand, which is fine when things are going up and to the right. But when things are tough, their overexpansion was killing them. They wanted to do an airline. They wanted to do their own brand of hotels. They wanted to do every single aspect of travel, instead of just focusing on what they were brilliant at, which is connecting people who have property with people who want to use that property. They overexpanded into so many different areas, and that was killing them. So I think pandemic was hard. I think they acted very fast and have pared it back to their pure business model. And I think that will make them thrive. I think to go back to focusing on their core, I think Airbnb itself as a business can be big enough just focusing on its core business. So I think if they cut back all the excess fluff and distractions, they will actually come out of this a stronger business. During the summer, they're actually going to make a profit in Q3. I think they're going to make 200 million plus profit. I think it's 233 million plus profit in Q3 this year, which is crazy in a pandemic for a travel business. Yes, they've been hurt by it. Yes, hosts have been hurt by it. But I think in the summer in Ireland, you couldn't get like a cottage or you couldn't get like a one-off property down the country at any weekend because people were just craving to get away. And I think that is going to continue. People are going to avoid cities for a while. I think how people travel is going to change. I think people won't be jet-setting off to Bali for weekends anymore. People discovered their own countries more, and I think that will continue. And I hope it will, because that's going to be about what my new business is about. But I think that's going to continue. And I think Airbnb is ripe to now double down on that and help people with the discovery element, help people finding unique things, cottages, tree houses, cabins, whatever that is. I think Airbnb is ripe for that. I'm going to conclude here. I could talk for 2 to 3 hours on this, but I'll do a tell-all one at some stage in the future. To conclude, I'm bullish on Airbnb. I think it's a good business. I think in the long term, it will do well. I think it's a solid bet as a stock. This is an investment advice, yada, yada, yada. Am I going to buy Airbnb stock? Yes, I am. I am going to buy Airbnb stock. Do I think it'll be worth more than what I'm buying it at now in 5 years? Yes, I do. I hold things for generally 5 years. I take a 5-year timeline on things, minimum. So I'm not buying this to profit immediately. I'm not buying it to sell it in 6 months. I'm not going to be day trading looking at it. I don't have the financial intelligence or the time to be doing that. I take a long-term view on things. I generally only invest in companies that I believe in, that I use their products where possible, and I feel that they have a monopoly in the market, and Airbnb ticks a lot of those boxes. There's been early indications that the stock is going to be far oversubscribed. They had planned on going public at $44 to $50, but the reaction has been strong, and it now looks it'll go live at $68, which is a lot. But DoorDash went public yesterday and soared 86% overnight. Look, we're in a stock bubble. There's absolutely no doubt about that. We're in a very frothy market. I think Airbnb is ironically floating at an incredible time, because I think, I don't think there would have been this reaction if Airbnb had floated 12 months ago, if I'm very honest. I think it would have been a little bit muted. Flotations were tough, but people are now seeking value. They're seeking somewhere to put their money. If you put it into the bank, it's zero. It's costing you money to have money in the bank. So I think people are desperately seeking routes to get an investment return. I think that's powering a lot of the bubble that we're seeing. There's a lot of macroeconomic stuff about America printing money, yada, yada, yada. I'm not a stock expert. This isn't a stock expert blog or pod even. But I think, yes, in the long term, I think Airbnb is going to do well. I think it's going to bounce back very strongly from the pandemic. I think it's going to go back to basics. I think it's going to be a very powerful platform. When you think about it, it's got a very strong place in the market. Between it and Booking.com, they've hoovered up the vast majority of the markets. That is it. That is today's rundown on Airbnb. Let me know what you thought of this pod. It was a little bit different, but I'm trying to mix up the content a little bit, to be very honest, keep you interested and keep myself interested. So let me know what you thought on that. Next year, as we're looking towards 2021, my own business will be pivoting, so I'm going to cover a lot of that in the pod as well, because I think it's an interesting time. I started off as a diary pod, and then kind of went into more interview style. So I'm going to go back to the diary style a little bit as my business pivots. I think that's an interesting story people want to hear. I think it's relevant. I think it's very honest as well, because sometimes you can't be very honest at times when things are bad. People aren't very honest. So I've always tried to keep things as honest as I can. Obviously, there's certain things you can't reveal due to business, not secrets, but to business, to weaken your business. You don't want to weaken your business, or you don't want to weaken the morale in your team. So I'll try to be as honest as I possibly can. So that is Airbnb. Let me know if you buy stock. Let me know what other stocks you're looking at. We will be back on Monday for the Idea Lab. And then we're back next Thursday with an in-depth interview with the founders of the Go House. Thomas and Jake are coming on the pod. So I'm really excited by that. They're two young entrepreneurs that really fascinate me. They're now daily vlogging their journey of building the Go House as a business. So it's well worth following. So it's Thomas Arnold and Jake Brown. So I'll see you back next Monday for the Idea Lab.